From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Connie Schultz is a Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. 3 years ago, she married Ohio Democratic Congressman Sherrod Brown. It was a second marriage for both of them, and it was a marriage of two incompatible professions, journalism and politics. When Brown ran successfully for the Senate last year, Schultz was transformed from feminist writer to candidate's wife. I heard her speak last fall when she was on a book tour promoting a collection of her columns. She was talking to senior citizens near Cleveland. And afterwards, on the receiving line, her grateful listeners mixed praise of her writing with praise of her husband.
And I was going to vote for sure, Brown.
Anyway.
Sandy, thank you.
Thanks for coming to this. I really appreciate it. Hi.
Hi, Arnie.
Arnie.
I'll thank you for coming today.
Thank you. Well, thank you for coming.
And I hope your husband is.
Thanks, Arnie.
Hi. I'm Martha Ryan.
Martha, it's so nice to meet you.
Connie Schultz wrote a book about last fall's campaign. It's called And His Lovely Wife, a memoir from the woman beside the man. And Connie Schultz joins us from Cleveland. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Robert.
The title, And His Lovely Wife, you should explain, is a phrase that a woman in your position, that is, whose husband is running for office, hears an awful lot of.
I think it's not just women of politicians, actually. I think it's any woman who's married to a man of any prominence whatsoever in any community he lives in. All I have to do is say the title, and if it's a room full of women, they just crack up because they get it right away.
Now, you had the experience of taking leave from a very successful career as a journalist to become a subject of journalism. And I wonder what did you learn about journalism after being the one, or at least being married to the one who was being written about all the time?
I think overall regional reporters do a better job than the national reporters who parachute in. Having said that, I think more Americans would be voting if more women were covering politics. I was rather stunned to see that the majority of reporters showing up to cover the race were still middle-aged white men. Not that I have anything against middle-aged white men. I'm married to one. You're one, Robert, and I like you. But I did notice a difference in the coverage. Of course you would if you don't have women's voices in there. And so it was an interesting experience.
What do you think women would pick up on more of in politics if there were more people?
Well, a lot fewer polls and a lot more substance. I think they would get to the heart of why a candidate believes in any particular issue. It's one thing to get an answer to the question and move on. It's quite another to press and ask what are the reasons behind this and how did he or she find their way to this particular position. And I just see women more willing to do that. I see women more willing to shut up and listen often, too.
I was surprised that in addition to the campaign's great concern about newspaper coverage, which I assumed, and editorials and columns and television, I was surprised how important very local Ohio political blogs were to you.
And they were too important to me at times. They certainly weren't important to Sherrod. He wasn't reading them and he wasn't paying much attention. I, of course, started to obsess over them, partly because I knew that local reporters were having to pay attention to them. And some bloggers I thought were wonderful, but sometimes I got frustrated because they really would traffic in gossip and they would sign it, you know, Red Dog Daddy. Who is that? I don't know who that is. I want a name to these opinions and I want a name to this coverage. And so I think I learned a valuable lesson from that, because if you don't behave with credibility, you shouldn't be given any credibility.
But there couldn't be more than 73 people reading some of those blogs.
I know. That's why it was so stupid of me. Are you trying to illustrate how I was getting out of control here, Robert? Because clearly some days I was spending way too much time reading those things.
Well, there is a point at the beginning of Sherrod Brown's campaign where you realize that this man you'd been married to for a couple of years is being branded. He's about to be sold in a variety of products, and that he, having served in Congress and been Ohio Secretary of State, he's accepted this long ago. This is by no means a cynical politician, a very, very rigorously principled guy, but he's used to this thing and you're not.
Well, and he didn't care about the stuff. And you're talking about the mugs and the mouse pads and the bar. And I remember watching Sherrod, what would get to me sometimes, it just struck me as kind of humorous sometimes, is when women would come up with these shirts on that said Sherrod across their chest, and they'd say, sign my T-shirt, sign my T-shirt. And I, as I said in the book, I never worried about being threatened by these people. I mean, Sherrod rivaled a Monty Python skit trying to sign without touching them. But it just struck me that I was no longer just married to the candidate. I was married to somebody who's like Cher or Madonna. Everybody knew him by his first name, and they're screaming it out in crowds, and it felt a little bit like a rock concert sometimes.
There's a very funny moment in the campaign. Actually, it's when he first gets the nomination, when his name, Sherrod, causes some confusion, at least among his conservative critics.
Oh, yes. Rush Limbaugh. In 1 week's period of time, Rush Limbaugh said that the reason that Sherrod Brown was the candidate was because they wanted an African-American. And then 2 days later, a waitress walked up to me in a restaurant and said, Ms. Schultz, I hope you don't mind my interrupting you, but I did want to let you know that Fox News said that your husband is Sherrod Brown and that he's a woman. And so when I spoke to about 150 women later that week, I said, so you see, I'm actually more liberal than you thought I was. I'm actually married to an African-American woman. It was just kind of bizarre.
There's just one experience from the campaign that I wanted you to relate, which happened often, I gather, and that's you're talking to an audience of people, and it would typically be an older man who would come up with the question, how come if you're married to Brown, you're named Schultz?
Right. Well, I know I have several turning points in the book, and one of them, you may recall, is when I finally reached my limit. My dad had only died a few weeks earlier. My dad died of a heart attack last year during the middle of the campaign. And I was asked to speak at a chicken dinner down in Southern Ohio. It was about 150 people. And the man who introduced me said, well, Sherrod Brown's wife's here, but she's one of those women who won't change her name, so here she is. So I didn't even have a name that time, not even a first name. And I finally decided that I was done with that in terms of trying to defend it in ways of saying, well, you know, we'd only been married a couple of years and I've had this name a long time. And so instead I got up and talked about my parents, Janie and Chuck Schultz, both of them working class people who died in their 60s. And I said they wore their bodies out so that we'd never have to. And they grew up, spent their entire lives thinking they were nobodies, but they were going to raise four somebodies. And then I said my dad had just died a couple of weeks ago and his four somebodies were around him when he died. And so I'm not going to change this name. I'm really proud to have the name Schultz. Well, the poor man walks up, tears coming down his face, and he says, I love the name Schultz. Don't ever change the name Schultz. And it was a turning point for me, not just in terms of the name thing, but all of a sudden, my mom and my dad were with me on the campaign trail. I was down in Southern Ohio for a reason. I spent a lot of time down there because I come from the working class. And I really felt prouder to be from the working class during that campaign than any other time in my life, in part because their values were my values. And we were having a conversation everywhere I went.
Well, Connie Schultz, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you so much, Robert. It was great talking to you.
It's Connie Schultz, whose book is called And His Lovely Wife, a memoir from The Woman Beside the Man.
And at NPR.org, you can read an excerpt from the book in which Schultz describes meeting her husband and why she says she's a basic nightmare as a political wife.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.